Good evening. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not reflect those of the station or anybody's companies, employers, municipalities, just one person's opinions.
The following program contains strong language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
From WCRS-FM in Columbus, Ohio, this is the DJBC Social Distancing Happy Hour with your host, Brian Curtis. Welcome to the DJBC Social Distancing Happy Hour on WCRS-FM and WCRSFM.org. The show is pre-recorded. It is the weekend, and the monologue segment is online only. I know we normally do it on the air, but it was cut for time. Summer is here. It's the summer solstice. But summer's not really summer this year.
Why did summer go so quickly?
Summer did not really get a chance to blossom this year. Maybe because we're torn between two pandemics right now.
Breaking news!
And we have breaking news. The Christopher Columbus statue at Columbus State Community College is history. On Friday, it took 8 hours to dismantle the statue, which had been on the downtown campus for 32 years. And it does not stop there. On Tuesday, Columbus City Council President Pro Tem Elizabeth Brown tweeted that the City of Columbus should remove their Columbus statue from the front steps of City Hall, which was a gift from Genoa, Italy, back in 1955. And Columbus and Genoa are sister cities and have had a long-standing relationship since then. And when we stopped by the statue at City Hall last Tuesday night, there was the word rapist spray-painted. The word rapist. True that?
Yes, you know it's true.
Last October, I wrote an article in the Columbus Free Press about a petition that was run by former WCRS volunteer Charles Roble to change the name of Columbus, Ohio to Arawak City because Cristoforo Colombo did things that would cause Steve Wilkos to hurl a chair and bludgeon Christopher Columbus to death on the Steve Wilkos Show live. Who knew that we live in a city, the 14th largest city in America, named after a serial killer, Dexter Morgan, mass murderer, Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler, perpetuator of genocide, Idi Amin, Pol Pot, and child rapist. Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one with a 100-foot pole. Christopher Columbus may think he's innocent. You have these Italian-American societies who think he's innocent. They think he loved children like Jesus, but we're not even going to touch that with a 200-foot pole. But you have, like, these Italian clubs here in Columbus saying that, oh, Christopher Columbus was a lovey-dovey man who loved children. Bollocks. It's 2020, and we're still revering predators and racist rapists, but not the strong, but no longer silent minorities. 2020 is already the year that life as we know it jumped the shark. 2020 also saw the Me Too movement jump the shark as Democrats rallied around Joe Biden like he's Urban Meyer leading third-grade quarterback Cardale Jones to the promised land.
Look, Cardale, you could win a national championship. You're our only hope, Obi-Wan.
Classes are pointless. I don't want to go to class.
And now, the current crop of guys won't have to go, at least in person. But yes, I'm voting for Biden because there's an iconic ad from the 1964 LBJ election campaign where there was a little girl in a field of daisies getting blown up. The message at the end of the ad was, the stakes are too high for you to stay at home. Flash forward to this year. They are. The stakes are too high for you to stay at home and not vote. Because if we stay home on November 3rd, there will not be a United States in 5 years. Either we'll all be dead, or we're going into World War III times Civil War II. What side do you want to be on? And no, Jerome Robbins is not around to choreograph the battle scenes. He's not. Former WBNS 10 TV political guru Jim Heath on his website predicts that Biden will beat Trump, according to latest polls, and depending on how many states can flip over to the blue side. it may not even be close, because Donald John Trump is the worst president ever. And now that the tell-all novel of the summer, well, it's not a novel, it's real, just ask the author himself, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, because Donald Trump is conspired with China, Gina, as Alec Baldwin mimics on Saturday Night Live, to steal this upcoming election in Trump's favor. You heard that, not from me, but from America's favorite news anchor, Nora Morahan O'Donnell. But the thing about it is that he's a snake. He's a viper. He's the worst president ever. James Buchanan and Herbert Hoover are rolling in their graves saying, thank you, we're no longer the shittiest presidents of all time. Not just the worst president to last longer than 30 days. For example, William Henry Harrison. Bless his little heart for catching pneumonia during his inaugural speech. Not. Arizona's obviously gonna flip blue because Captain Mark Kelly is running for the U.S. Senate in Arizona. Captain Kelly is a former astronaut who's better known as the husband of former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who survived an assassination attempt at a town hall in Arizona in 2011. With that said, don't boo, vote. Libertarian does not count. The Green Party is no longer a validated party, at least in Ohio, where we do this show. So there will be talks about who will be Biden's running mate. I believe it'll be a person of color. One person on Facebook threw out AOC's name in there. There's one problem. She's not old enough. You have to be 35 to be a vice presidential candidate or president. But I think it will and should be a woman of color now more than ever. One of my neighbors thinks it'll be Val Demings, a prosecutor from the battleground state of Florida, where their governor seems to be missing his brain. And today we're recording this monologue on the longest day of sunlight of the year, the summer solstice, where in mythological times they danced around the solstice. Yeah, we're still in the pandemic. And there were a couple of social distancing concerts I went to over the weekend. There was a Sondheim porch concert. Masks were required, with local actors singing some of Sondheim's favorite tunes. And of course, I went to a happy hour by the neighborhood gazebo, a neighborhood gazebo, where there was a singer singing cover songs on her wonderful machine. All social distancing measures were in place. It's kind of like the new normal, where hugs have been replaced with, oh yeah, 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 cheek kisses. Forget about it. And it's the worst time to be single because you're living life like a hermit in a cave. Or like Aunt Barney and Aunt Jackie in a cave. And after going through the entire Roman spring of society without a haircut, I got one on the last day of spring, 2020. First time since Valentine's Day weekend. You know, when I went out on the weekend, out in the town for the last time before I entered the time of coronavirus. But I look like a new man, ready to take on the world. Plus Zoom interviews, if and when those happen. Speaking of which, Coda! Coda! Is anyone home? You know, it's been 2 months. 2 months since Coda reduced service drastically. As the economy and things are reopening up, it seems like Coda, A, doesn't give an iota. They don't care about you or me. And two, they're falling behind in the curveball. On their Facebook page, Coda deleted all the visitor posts to protect their image. What image? You know, I was riding the number 2 Main Street bus back from the bank the other day, and there were more than like 20 people on the bus. Coda! Anyone home? Coda! Do your job! Wouldn't it be a shame if I started protesting outside your headquarters downtown at 33 North High Street? And so Coda's officials see a burly man with an American flag mask and a Go Blue t-shirt holding a sign that says, so-and-so resign, and the back, bring back evening service. You know that I mean business, and the time for talk is over. I think that masks still need to be required, because if Uber and Lyft require masks, Coda should too. If California and parts of Oregon are requiring masks, Coda should too. Yellow Springs is. More on that in the COVID roundup. I
big buses need to run later?
Not necessarily midnight. It'd be great if they did, but, like, 10 o'clock would be great for, like, people who get off work at 7, 8, maybe 9 to get downtown at 10. Would be great. Not necessarily 11 or midnight, but that would be better, even better. But so people don't have to waste all their money on Uber and Lyft, because that's expensive. Especially if you're riding from, like, Grove City to, like, Linden. It's like, I don't know, $40? And two lines in particular, line 5 and line 7, which before things were shut down, reduced, ran every 15 minutes, were cut to every hour. And some parts of their routes, 2 hours. And imagine if your bus is passed up and you have to wait 2 hours to get to work. Well, people, your boss will think you're a no-call, no-show. And you'll lose your job. And I think that they should reduce, at least they should run every half hour. And by that I mean, like, the core part of the route every half hour. And then there are alternating parts on both of those lines would go every hour. So people don't have to wait as long. I mean, they've already bungled up service during the week and a half of the protests when they had to reroute through Old Town East. And the number 11 bus was 20 minutes early getting to Kroger and to Mary Haven. And it just, COTA has basically not winning people over, and they haven't won people over in the last 8 weeks. Every half hour, because those, I've heard things about those buses being packed. And people have to wait 2 hours to get to, from point A to point B. That is completely unacceptable. And COTA is not listening. They are not listening. They think they're listening, but it's like, our hands are tied. Our hands are tied. I have to pay rent to my condo in the Short North. Wake up! I know I'm not screaming because our neighbors, I need to be respectful for them. But I'm all levels of angry right now. Yes, I agree that masks should be mandatory. And I think that the return of the C-Bus, the Night Owl, the Air Connect, that should be the very last phase. Those are the three non-essential routes right there. But people are need to get back to work, and buses are getting overcrowded, and COTA is not, like, they're being secretive and not forthcoming. It's like a very terrible marriage. COTA doesn't care. They never have. They're just doing lip service, and the time for talk is over. If the Republicans are forcing the economy to reopen, it's time for COTA to step the hell up. Step it up. Pep and step. As my geriatric 95-year-old dad would say, put some pep in your step, son. COTA's behind the eight ball, as I wrote on columbusfreepress.com, where you can read my article. I shared that article plus a Medium article on COTA to the podcast of show number 341, where this monologue is also linked, because it, I mentioned, was cut from the show, which aired on June 22nd, so it could fit within 60 minutes. Remember, COTA is for essential travel, such as getting groceries, going to the laundromat, going to the bank, going to work, getting food to go from a local restaurant, picking food up from a local farmer's market. There are a couple that are on the bus line, like Pearl Market downtown, Bexley, Hilliard. You'd be playing with fire on that one because buses do stop running at an early time now, and they only go every hour. Bridge Park Market started up this past weekend in Dublin. Oh, that's every 2 hours, but you get the point. COTA is not for joyriding right now. And with that said, I haven't gone around town much, and I only have if I've gone to, like, a networking meeting, which I've had a couple of those in June alone, one of which I spent 2.5 hours talking to people about best practices and where to find job leads. More on that probably in a future show. Maybe Networking 202, perhaps? But I haven't gone around town much, especially on the bus, but only if I've gone to, like, a networking meeting, gone on essential errands, or on assignment for the show. And, yeah, media is essential, and media does count as essential, and the DJBC Happy Hour is part of the media, which is essential, just like what I just mentioned, all that other stuff. And I usually don't use cash a whole lot. I mean, I think cash has jumped the shark. I've only used cash, really, basically to pay for my haircut and probably, like, get coins from the laundromat. I don't think that the local barbershops got the memo that cash has jumped the shark. For example, when my dad and I got haircuts, our barber was wearing gloves. Cool. Yeah. But haircuts were cash only. Surprise, surprise. Because most big box salons stopped taking cash altogether. And most restaurants stopped taking cash as well. Most business shops have as well. Have gone straight to card only since the pandemic. Like, even poor little Mike's Grill, the Short North's cash-only dive bar, has been boarded up since March 15th. I mean, how can Rubino's, Pizzeria, and Bexley survive? But at least a couple years ago, Schneider's Bakery in Uptown Westerville started taking cards. Because when I was an Otterbein student, they were cash or check only. But yes, no hugs, no high fives, no handshakes. And Dr. Fauci said back in, I think, April, I don't think we'll be shaking hands again. I've been guilty of that a couple times. But I did use hand sanitizer immediately after. But I gotta take a test, though. Take a test. But back to Cristoforo Colombo. Hitman, rapist, and Queen Isabella's missionary slave. He wasn't the only one to take a hit recently. Not just here, but in other cities across this great land of ours, too. Columbus statues are going to be removed. Confederate statues have come down left and right south of the Mason-Dixon line, and the NCAA has banned Mississippi from hosting any tournaments until they change their flag. And NASCAR recently announced that they were removing the Confederate flag altogether. So the state of the Mississippi, pep and step, please. Confederate portraits have been removed from the walls of the U.S. Capitol and Congress in Washington. And the big gem of the ocean. Last week, Quaker Oats announced that they were cleansing themselves from
Aunt Jemima pancakes without her syrup is like the spring without the fall.
That's right, the Aunt Jemima brand.
Uncle Tom, Aunt Jemima.
Yes, that Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima.
All along it was blackface.
Aunt Jemima.
Think Al Jolson wearing his wife's girdle in a church lady farm dress.
Uncle Tom, Aunt Jemima.
I mean, Jimmy Fallon and the world's great leader, Justin Trudeau, have both apologized for their dark faces, as has Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. Cream of Wheat and Uncle Ben's, which also feature black-faced men.
Cotton Dick and Swamp Guinea Junkman, Shoeshine Boy.
Those could be replaced as well. And Mrs. Buttersworth has been deemed sexist. And Land O'Lakes has ditched the Native American girl from their branding. We may be broke in society right now, but we are indeed woke. All right, we got a packed show tonight. The Weekend Warrior. How will German Village celebrate 60 years of the Haus und Garten tour without a tour? Plus, a third of the show is about the daytime Emmys, who's going to win. The primetime Emmys and Oscars. Late breaking news on TV and motion pictures top honors. When will the Emmy nominations be announced? And where and when are the Oscars going to be held? Well, actually, when are they going to be held? But up next, later, first is the COVID roundup, the latest in Ohio. Will there be professional sports after all? How will we survive without Dr. Amy Acton as the director of health now? It's just, that was like the big bombshell, the big gorilla in the punch bowl, elephant in the room, million-dollar question. But this is the DJBC Happy Hour on WCRSFM.org. This monologue is online only, cut for time. And also, cut for time, our update on society at unrest. On Thursday, the Ohio State House was vandalized with red paint by protesters who put their hands in red paint, signalizing those who were killed by police. Ohio Governor DeWine issued a statement condemning that protest as vandalism. On Friday, also on Thursday, Columbus Mayor Andrew Ginther announced that the city of Columbus's statue would be indeed removed, saying that it was a champion of systemic racism. And there's a lawsuit that was addressed, then withdrawn. And then there were people who were like offended that they were going to remove the statue because it's our Italian heritage. No, the guy did things that he would probably be spending the rest of his unnatural life in prison right now. Columbus celebrated Juneteenth, and other suburbs gave shout-outs to Juneteenth in their social media. Hilliard, Bexley, Worthington, Gahanna, Upper Arlington, and Dublin. Bexley Mayor Ben Kessler highlighted black students and alumni from the Bexley School District on his mayoral Facebook page on Juneteenth. And on Friday night, the Abbey Theater gave us a letter from Birmingham Jail starring Troy Anthony Harris, which was shared by the city of Dublin. And it's beautiful outside right now. You know, it's a beautiful day. It really is. And on Facebook, they've been saying, you know, it's a beautiful day to arrest Breonna Taylor's murderers. And on Friday, it was announced that one of the officers who killed the young EMT worker from Louisville will indeed be fired. But that's not enough. The other two officers, plus the one officer that's going to be fired, need to be arrested and charged. You saw George Floyd's killers all charged. Rayshard Brooks's killers charged. Ahmaud Arbery's killers charged. What's taking so long? And George Floyd was laid to rest in Houston a couple weeks ago on June 9th. And on June 12th, outside of a Wendy's in Atlanta, Rayshard Brooks became the latest victim of this racial pandemic. A 27-year-old father who had too much to drink, wanted to, like, nap it off, and add this to the list of things that I, as a black man in America, can no longer do, even though I don't have a car, so it would be impossible for me to, you know, try to sleep off a night out on the town in my car without a car. So he wrestled with an officer and his taser trying to book him because he's on probation. Brooks was on probation, and if he is busted, he'd be sent back to prison. And so one of the officers shot him in the back twice as he ran. He died in surgery. And ironically, in February, this was released on Thursday, Brooks made a remark on police brutality and being black in America as part of his probation. And he said some things that were ironic, very ironic. And more needs to be done. More needs to be done. Atlanta's police chief resigned. The two officers who responded to the call were fired. And then last week they were arrested. And I'm going to close out by saying this, though. Being black should not have to be a crime. It's 2020, and it feels like being black in the United States of America, being a black person, we're living in the new apartheid, the new Jim Crow. And if we elect that lying snake oil salesman, there will be separate drinking fountains, one for blacks, one for whites, one for Mexicans, one for gays, one for transgendered. This shit needs to stop. We need to vote that son of a bitch Trump out of office. And I'm done with this monologue. All right. COVID roundup coming up next. This is the DJBC Cut for Time monologue. Bonus edition online only on WCRSFM.org. The DJBC Happy Hour airs Monday nights at 8 p.m. on WCRSFM, and the DJBC Happy Hour Classic airs Sundays at noon, also on WCRSFM. 92.7 in Worthington and 98.3 FM in Columbus. A broadcast service of the Neighborhood Network. To donate to WCRSFM, go to WCRSFM.org/donate. Remember to wear a mask, wash your hands, and go blue. Not necessarily Biden, but Harbaugh.